Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75, 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And so you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
All right, time for another installment of It's My House. And we got a little bit different setup here today. Okay, I'm trying to do this hands-free here. Today's podcast is titled 1513 to 1863. Matter of fact, if anybody knows the significance behind those two dates, give us a call right now at 619-768-2945. And give us your answer. If you know the significance of the dates of 1513, the year 1513, and the year 1863, if you know the significance of those two dates, give us a call at 619-768-2945. Well, don't have forever to wait. Okay. Today's podcast is titled 1513 to 1863, The Banking Homelessness Connection. 1513 to 1863, The Banking Homelessness Connection. Excuse me, 1513. 1513 was the year that Ponce de Leon representing Spain since their I guess it was their first official colonization of what we now call the United States. Actually, they were in Florida. All right. So that's the significance of 1513, the year 1513. Now, was when the Emancipation Proclamation came into existence. All right. 1865 was the 13th Amendment. Now, let's see. You know what? I love statistics here, and I've got to find one for you guys, but, oh boy, okay, I need about a couple of minutes to find it. So, you know what, we probably need another round of Claude Anderson so I can connect the dots here. So I'm waiting for my phone to refresh, so I can get back in my studio and give you another dose of Claude Anderson so I can get this instead. But today's podcast, once again, is titled 1513-1863. The Banking Homelessness Connection. Let's reboot with Claude Anderson, and then I'm going to come back with these stats.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't going to be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pools in your money. And hold that money. And practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35,000ths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And so you can't communicate with your people, you can't inform your people, You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can talk all black folk, all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You know, even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, boy, who cares? March, they never changed anything.
All right, today's podcast, once again, is titled 1513 to 1863, The Banking Homelessness Connection, 619-768-2945. I got the stat I wanted you to get over the date, really. 1513, 1790, and 1863. Once again, here these are three very critical dates. 1513, the year 1513, the year 1790, and the year 1863. Okay. Now, matter of fact, we need to add on another date. 4 days. 1513, 1776, 1790, and 1863. Here are the 4 dates again. 1513, 1776, particularly July 4th, 1776, and 1863. Once again, today's podcast is titled The Banking Homelessness Connection, 619-768-2945, if you want to chime in. We've been doing short ones lately. Now, the significance of 1513. 1513, once again, is when Ponce de Leon, on an official expedition from Spain, set foot upon what they called then La Florida, which we know is the state of Florida, but was not a state then. The United States in 1513 did not exist. Okay. But they set foot and they start to colonize. That's 1513. Next day, July 4th, 1776. We just celebrated that one recently. That's the official start date, birth date of the United States. So from 1513 to July 4th, 1776. I mean, that's what, 200? Let me get it right now. 1776 minus 1513. Right. That was 263 years. That you had, well, it was just not Europeans, they were other people too, that were coming over to the New World, starting a new life, colonizing, building homes. Building homes, building homes, building homes. And there wasn't a bank in sight. No such thing as Fannie Mae. No such thing as FHA. No institutional lending. Okay. Next date. 1863. That was the date of the Emancipation Proclamation. 1865, the date of the 13th Amendment. So from 1513 to 1863, education was completely almost entirely different than what we know today. Many people learned, that was basics, man, just like getting up, washing your face. Building a house was normal. A lot of people knew it. A large part of your slave workforce knew how to build a house. Let me do some reading here out of the book. The 30-year mortgage is a phenomenon of only the past, let's say, few generations. Here's a Yoruba African proverb. If one is not able at once to build a house, a shed must first be erected. All right. Now, let me go through some historical housing history here in the United States. Since the earliest times, we have adapted our shelters to climate and available materials. When the first European settlers landed in North America, they built temporary dwellings using what they can find. The half-face camp on the pre-roll that I'm reading out of the book. Let's see, let me skip down here. How did these people get homes built? Closely bound communities of people often helped build one another's homes. Many of the earliest settlers' homes had only one room, but as their families grew, they added on to the house. So, and the United States isn't even 250 years old yet. So, for over 300 years, matter of fact, if you know what, here's a prosperity, I mean, this is a serious gold nugget here. Goose that laid a golden egg nugget here. The wealthiest families, some in the world, but definitely here in the United States, old money, those families got wealthy not because they were white. It's because they didn't deal with banks. Once again, they didn't get wealthy because of their skin tone. They got wealthy because they didn't deal with banks at all, not institutionalized banks. They had a skill set of knowing how to build their own house, period. They built it with the help of family and friends. Those homes were passed down from one generation to the next. Talk about generational wealth. The date 1860, so from 1513, imagine this now, from 1513, we're talking about the founding fathers, the people that wrote that Declaration of Independence. For the most part, none of those guys, the home that they live in was mortgage-free because they built it from scratch. Now, some of them had slave labor. They invested in that, but they didn't have to go to a bank and borrow money to do all that. If you want to get wealthy, find a way to do it without getting institutional lending involved. From 1513, now think about it. How fast this country grew from 1513 to 1863. I'm also putting that, and here's another thing about 1863. Okay, the Emancipation Proclamation. 1865 is when the 13th Amendment was out. The Civil War basically marks the start of the contemporary Industrial Revolution. So you had from, let me see, 1860, I'm going to go to 65. And when Ponce de Leon, that's 352 years. And the United States isn't even 250 years yet. They're like 243 years right now in the United States. So the reparations crowd, you need to do your homework. Now, how can we apply this in 2019 and 2020 and above and beyond? Do what the founding fathers did and that whole crew before them too. Build your wealth. Particularly the roof over your head, build it. Get you some social capital, and you guys help each other build your homes, your barns, your farms, what have you. Banks are for people that are basically broke. To a higher degree. All right, but that's a lot of years. 270, that's over two, almost three centuries. The concept of a credit score didn't even exist. Now, your reputation as a neighbor, different story. All right, so that's the nugget I got for you for this weekend. Just remember those dates from 1513 to 1790. That's a nice little stretch of time there. No FHA,